There's good news and bad in the search for Flight 447's data recorder. Southwest updates the story of Flight 1919, and GE and Rolls won't give up on the F-136. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 28, 2011. With NASA's Shuttle Endeavour waiting on the pad for tomorrow's launch, the Multilateral Coordination Board for the International Space Station Partner Agencies met yesterday to discuss increased efforts to use the station as a testbed for exploration. The board also congratulated the European Space Agency on its recent decision to continue station operations to at least 2020. The governments of Japan and the Russian Federation already have approved continued station operations beyond 2016. NASA received approval in the NASA Authorization Act of 2010. The Canadian Space Agency is working with its government to reach consensus about the continuation of the station. Other topics on the agenda included a report on efforts to create international standards for docking and berthing, rendezvous and proximity operations, interfaces for replaceable items and payloads, and standardization of command protocols for spacecraft. Nearly 2 years after Air France Flight 447 went down in the Atlantic Ocean with no survivors, search teams have finally turned up a portion of the A330's flight data recorder, but the memory module, which actually stores the data, was not with the unit's chassis. BEA, France's Bureau of Investigations and Analysis, released images taken by the Remora 6000 ROV submersible in the debris field, which shows the data recorder chassis on the ocean floor. Bloomberg reports the search for the missing data module will continue. The main part of the wreckage of the A330 rests beneath almost 13,000 feet of water. Southwest Flight 1919, arriving from Denver, ran off a runway at Chicago Midway Airport about 1:30 p.m. Central Time Tuesday. A preliminary passenger list indicates the 737-700 was carrying 134 passengers, 5 lap children, and 5 crew members. There were no reported injuries. The passengers were safely deplaned using air stairs and bused to the terminal. The airline is refunding their round-trip airfares and issuing them 2 complimentary round-trip passes as a gesture of goodwill. Southwest says it's in direct contact with the NTSB and FAA as they perform an investigation. Boeing reports a second 747-8 Intercontinental made a successful first flight Tuesday, completing the 2-plane test fleet for the type. Piloted by Captains Keith Otsuka and Ron Johnston, RC-021 took off at 9:26 a.m. Pacific Time from Payne Field in Everett, Washington. The 3-hour, 20-minute flight reached 28,000 feet and 275 knots. RC-021 will be used primarily for testing the various interior systems that will be on the Intercontinental, including HVAC, smoke detection, and galleys. Boeing will also conduct fuel consumption and function and reliability tests. The 747-8 Intercontinental flight test program will include about 600 hours of flight testing. Boeing says the passenger version of the new 747 will have the lowest seat mile cost of any large commercial jetliner, with 16% better fuel economy, 16% less carbon emissions per passenger, and a 30% smaller noise footprint than the 747-400. The National Mediation Board Tuesday authorized a representation election that could establish the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers as the sole collective bargaining representative for 24,000 flight attendants at the recently merged United and Continental Airlines. The election has been set for May 17th through June 29th, and balloting will be done electronically and by phone. The tally will take place on the 29th of June at the NMB's offices at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The IAM advises employees to watch for voting instructions to arrive by mail on May 17th. The U.S. Department of Defense made it official this week, notifying the General Electric Rolls-Royce Fighter Engine Team and Congress that the F-136 Joint Strike Fighter engine contract has been terminated. The Joint Strike Fighter is being built with an engine called the F-135, sourced from Pratt & Whitney. The stop work order for the F-136 ends the expenditure of $1 million per day on an engine DOD long ago assessed as unneeded and wasteful, but which was kept alive by federal lawmakers who wanted the jobs for their districts. The Defense Contract Management Agency will assume responsibility for termination settlement with GE and Rolls. but the manufacturers say they'll continue work on the engine with their own money in the hopes an improving economy convinces lawmakers to reinstate the program in the 2012 federal fiscal budget year that begins October 1st. Still ahead, Brian Foley mothballs his effort to buy Cirrus. ANN is again looking for a few good Oshkosh stringers. And NASA makes good use of Twitter. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 28th. I'm Paul Platt. In March, industry consultant and investment banker Brian Foley published a report exploring the buying up of U.S. general aviation companies by foreign entities. In response to that article, he found some investor interest in putting together a counterproposal to the announced deal for Cirrus to be sold to Chinese interests and announced that he'd pursue it. Well, now, Foley says the idea of submitting an unsolicited bid for the company has been shelved, for the time being at least. Quote, "While we continue to identify and vet more prospective investors, the general consensus thus far is to see first whether the Chinese offer currently on the table proceeds to fruition. There is some element of doubt on this, but many believe it probably will. If it doesn't, however, we have investors waiting to reevaluate the situation. We acknowledge our investors' viewpoint in following this approach." Unquote. Foley notes that his research has uncovered other investor groups with the same idea. We'll just all need to stay tuned. Dana Cox, an experienced aviation business development and sales executive, has been tapped by Piper as director of sales for the Asia-Pacific region, headquartered in Brunei. He was most recently general manager of international sales and operations management at Itochu Aviation Incorporated, a U.S. subsidiary of the Tokyo-based trading company of the same name, and previously was a regional marketing manager in the Pacific Rim and in Europe for Beech Aircraft. Pluna Lineas Arias Uruguayas S.A. has signed a follow-on order for 3 CRJ-900 next-gen regional jets. The airline currently operates 10 CRJ-900s, which is the only aircraft type in its fleet. Based on list prices, the firm order is valued at $129 million. This makes 265 firm orders for the CRJ-900 and 900 next-gen, with 244 of those delivered as of January 31st. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association says veteran Capitol Hill staffer Amanda Joyner will join the association as its new Director of Government Affairs. She comes to Gamma from the offices of U.S. Representative Howard Coble of North Carolina, where she most recently served as Senior Legislative Assistant. Her responsibilities included work on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, advising the congressman on aviation, highway, and Coast Guard issues, and she has considerable experience with the congressional appropriations process, as well as transportation security, energy, and tax issues. Amanda is a native of Pleasant Garden, North Carolina, and holds a BA in Communications and Business from Appalachian State University. When rumors of a pending merger between Facebook and Twitter resurfaced recently, comedian Jay Leno joked that the plan was to create the biggest waste of time in workplace history. But for more than 4,000 Twitter followers of NASA, the time spent becoming proficient tweeters might look like a pretty good value about now. NASA has invited 150 people who registered online in mid-March to be on hand live in the press facilities at Kennedy Space Center for the final launch tomorrow of the Shuttle Endeavour on mission STS-134 and to share their experience via Twitter. The communication will start at noon Eastern Time today, as participants tweet about pre-launch preparations, including a spacesuit demonstration. They come from 43 U.S. states and the District of Columbia, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Germany, New Zealand, Puerto Rico, Switzerland, Venezuela, and the UK. The agency's flagship Twitter account, at NASA, broke the 1 million follower mark on Easter Sunday. And finally today, it's already time to start thinking about EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. And again this year, Aero News is looking for people who like nothing better than writing about, photographing, video recording, and reporting on aircraft and the people who build and fly them. Oshkosh is a pretty expensive way to spend a week as an individual attendee these days, and the availability of motel rooms is always tight. If you're an ANN stringer, you're admitted to the show as credentialed media, you stay in a rented house, and food and transportation are provided. But working as an ANN stringer isn't just about seeing the show on the cheap. Imagine being invited behind all the velvet ropes and getting one-on-one time with newsmakers. If you come to learn about aviation, this is an opportunity like no other. You'll also make some great friends. Evenings spent around a kitchen table with laptops busting butt to make deadline are hard work, but also produce some really funny moments. So pull together some samples of your work. We need writing, photography, audio, and video skills. And if you have expertise in any particular software, make sure we know about that too. Find an FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated April 28th at aero-news.net, and you'll find details on how to get in touch. Oh, and an insider tip, if you don't snore, it couldn't hurt to mention that too. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the second and concluding part of my interview with Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights. Kate explains the new airline passenger protections ordered by USDOT, expected to take effect in August. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.